happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA, to get Ann and Andy together again.
At Andy's house, because there's some problem with my computer, a little glitch, but here we are, screwing around, but we're here.
Okay. What a news week, Ann.
Oh, my God. Beyond just the news of us sitting side by side again.
Yes. First of all, you know, but you've read about this, but there's so much more that you probably don't know. The co-founder of Moms for Liberty and her husband, the Family Values Florida Republican chair, who was exposed for being in a long-term three-way. But the sordidness and hypocrisy does not stop there.
There's some dispute about how long-term it was or how frequent, but it certainly happened. They both admitted to it. But once we get past them, we'll talk about Speaker Mike Johnson, who sees the path to victory through homophobia.
And the House of Representatives booted its only known drag queen.
Yeah, known, exactly. The legacies of former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and of Norman Lear will be discussed.
Veteran gay activist and noted political scientist Ken Sherrill has died.
And the Russian High Court has ruled that the international LGBTQ movement is extremist. Police immediately started raiding gay venues, and LGBTQ leaders are fleeing the country.
But marriage equality is finally in effect in Nepal.
Andy will review Ana DuVernay's new film, Origin, about the nature of prejudice, and we'll show you a message from its star, Ingenue. Ellis Taylor.
Yes. And LGBTQ and AIDS documentaries and dramas are streaming this month, and we'll tell you about them. But let's go to Florida.
Wow. Oh, can I, moment of personal privilege?
Sure.
I had a complaint from a viewer last week that I was sucking a little too vigorously on a cough drop and that it looked like, I don't know, chewing gum or something rude. And I agree, it was vigorous. I felt that, but I'm trying to suppress the cough I've had for a few months. So I may pull out a cough drop again, but I apologize if anyone was offended.
And I have to keep them here as well, and I try to be discreet about it, but you know, we do what we have to do so that we can get through this.
And someone else thought I was a little too over the top about the police. And I was a little hyperbolic, but I stand by my concerns about their behavior.
We've both had bad experiences and good experiences.
Yes.
But we've both had bad experiences.
Definitely.
All right. So it's kind of like the moralistic right wing is imploding down there in Florida.
I couldn't be happier.
So we learned that the Florida Republican Party chair, the state chair, Christian Ziegler, a family values politician and a pal of DeSantis and Trump, was accused of rape. Then we learned that the accuser was in a three-year three-way relationship with Ziegler and his wife, Bridget. Tell us about Bridget.
Well, Bridget is one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Yes. She's there on the right, of course, with DeSantis in the middle. And she is also has been a member of the Sarasota School Board. And she was appointed by DeSantis to the new board overseeing Disney. She is like the moral leader of Florida, reported.
She played a major role in getting the Don't Say Gay law passed. So now kids have to learn all about fornication and rape just to understand this controversy.
Well, she says, she admits to one instance of a three-way with this accuser. I say, if you've admitted to one, you're probably just covering up the rest, but who knows? We don't know. We have no evidence. It could just have been once. But meanwhile, they had scheduled another encounter for the three of them in October. And Bridget, the wife, canceled at the last minute. And so the husband, the GOP chair, calls the accuser and says, it's just going to be us. My wife is not coming. And the accuser says, oh, well, sorry, really, really, I'm more interested in her. So let's cancel this. We're not doing it. Then she, a little bit later, she is going to take her dog out for a, or take the garbage out. The dog, the garbage, something. Anyway, she opens the door to her apartment and he's standing there. And he pushes his way in. She says, I didn't want to do this. Come on, leave me alone. Go away. And her story is that he then raped her. He yes. forced her over a bar stool and raped her.
He denies it. He says there's video of the encounter.
Yeah, he says, oh, I've taped it. But guess what? They can't find the video.
Well, DeSantis wants him out as the party chair, but Ziegler says he won't go. Other Republicans in the party do want him out. With the co-founder of Moms for Liberty exposed as a libertine bisexual, I guess at this point, the Pennsylvania chapter of Moms for Liberty has split from the national organization. One chapter is changing its this chapter is changing its name to the Northumberland County Academic Alliance.
And other co-founders of Moms for Liberty are condemning her and admitting that they are appalled by this.
Bridget can head up Moms for Sexual Liberties.
Well, it's just astonishing how fast this is imploding, how this went up so fast and then is falling so fast. It's like the law of reciprocity or whatever.
Well, Bridget is also the big head of the Conservative Leadership Institute that trains people to run anti-LGBTQ candidates for to get them elected to school board. I don't. She hasn't been thrown off the school board yet, huh?
I think she resigned from the school board, but I'm not sure. I've read conflicting stories on that. I don't want to be having to correct myself again next week. So let's just say that is an unresolved question.
Well, Christian Ziegler, the GOP chair, has said that Democrats who oppose Don't Say Gay were perverted and encouraged them to leave Florida, which I imagine he will be doing shortly.
Well, all of this seems to be having an effect on DeSantis's presidential campaign, too. He is sinking like a rock very, very fast. I'm looking forward to tonight, as we're taping, debate between him and Haley and Christie and
Ramaswamy.
Thank you.
Which Donna Brazile can't pronounce.
Well, evidently neither can I, or at least not if I'm not looking at it.
All right.
So I think he is just taking blows left, right, and center, and he's going nowhere in this campaign.
Okay.
Which makes us happy.
A little more on Moms for Liberty. It turns out that the Philadelphia chapter hired a registered sex offender, Philip Fisher Jr., who was convicted of having oral and anal sex with a 14-year-old boy to handle religious outreach. He insists he was railroaded by the Lyndon LaRouche cult and he was trying to escape and that he's a respected pastor. He does, of course, does not respect LGBTQ people and promotes our oppression, but he wants us to cut him a break.
So retro that we're still talking about Lyndon LaRouche. And then there's the school board in Central Bucks County in Pennsylvania, which flipped itself from conservative to liberal by electing new members. And the new chair of that board took the oath of office, not on a Bible, but on a stack of banned books. Things are changing, folks. The timing is excellent. By the time a year from now when the election rolls around, we may take every seat in the House and Senate.
And we hope they will.
More hyperbole.
And we hope they will change in Escambia, Florida. The school board.
Escambia.
The school board there is being sued by Penguin, Random House, Pen America, authors, parents for restricting books based on disagreement with ideas in them, trying to impose an orthodoxy of opinion that violates the First and 14th Amendment. Now, the Florida Attorney General, Ashley Moody, argued that the First Amendment does not apply to public schools and that boards can remove books for any reason and that the purpose of school libraries is to convey the government's message.
Not freedom of expression in a school library, government expression.
Well, this argument did not fly in Arkansas. In Florida, one of the books that was banned was And Tango Makes Three, about these two male penguins.
Little penguins in the New York Zoo.
And the Attorney General, in her briefs, compared Tango Makes Three to Nazi propaganda. Meaning, you know, we don't allow Nazi books. We don't do that for educational purposes.
These people, they just don't.
Disgusting.
They don't know how far they're going and how they're discrediting themselves.
But Lake Worth, Florida became the first in Florida. Lake Worth Beach, Florida has become the first to LGBTQ sanctuary city.
Yeah, there are lots of cities that have declared themselves non-discriminatory, but Lake Worth Beach is the first to actually declare itself a sanctuary city, and that was a unanimous vote of the city commissioners.
Okay.
Now, and also in this realm, we've told you about the fight in court over the drag queen law, as it's called, in Florida, and the fact that the court has put a stay on that and said it cannot go into effect, banning drag queen performances, because that is freedom of expression. Nonetheless, a couple of institutions that have been under attack by the Florida government have settled cases. The Orlando Philharmonic settled by paying a $5,000 fine for having had a drag queen Christmas performance and agreed to have nobody under 18 in future audiences, even though an undercover agent who attended said there was absolutely nothing lewd about the performance at all. It's evidently just easier to pay a $5,000 fine than to go on fighting this forever. And similarly, the Hyatt Regency in Miami reached an identical settlement with the state.
And that was over Drag Queen Christmas. But the law's on hold. It seems like they could have fought it, but they were being threatened with loss of their liquor license, and they just wanted to get it over with.
Right.
Parents are allowed to take their children to anti-LGBTQ organizations, churches, mosques, and synagogues, and political rallies where hate is spewed.
And by the way, speaking of debates, there was the meaningless DeSantis-Newsom debate on Fox last week. And probably the highlight was for us was Newsom saying to DeSantis, "You're demeaning LGBTQ people with your laws and everything." And DeSantis is heard whimpering in the background, "Who am I demeaning?" And Hannity just cut it off immediately. No more talk about that.
Okay. All right. The Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 with other right-wing groups to stack the next Trump Republican administration with reactionaries has a questionnaire if you want to work in the White House. Most of it is anti-immigrant, anti-affirmative action, anti-feminist, anti-public education, anti-everything. But one question is, the federal government should recognize only two unchanging sexes, male and female, as a matter of policy.
More on this later when we talk about our new organization. Should we go to Mike Johnson?
Yes.
All right.
So Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, we told you last week in 2022, he wrote a foreword for and promoted a book. No, we didn't tell you this last week. We have more on that later. Sorry. In 2022, he wrote the foreword and promoted a book that spread baseless conspiracy theories and uses anti-LGBTQ insults. The Revivalist Manifesto by Louisiana blogger Scott McKay, who pushes the infamous QAnon Pizzagate hoax, accusing Democratic officials of being part of a pedophile ring, among other conspiracy theories.
In the basement of a pizza parlor in Washington, which led a somewhat sociopathic guy to come in with a rifle and try to clean out the nest of pervert.
So Johnson called him a freedom-loving American and called him a dear friend. Told by CNN that he had not read sections of the book. He said he hadn't read those sections highlighted by CNN. And he strongly disagreed with the book. But earlier he had said, oh, no, I mean, I totally endorse this. I mean, why would I write the foreword if I didn't endorse it?
He's also, I think he's in New York tonight on Wednesday to get an award and give the keynote speech at a meeting of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. Yes. And we're getting more and more details about his work with the Alliance Defending Freedom. At first, he was just described as a consultant, but in fact, he was a lawyer representing clients in their cases. And they were, as we know, with the Alliance Defending Freedom, there were largely anti-LGBTQ cases. And Mike Johnson has been extremely active in this battle against us for many years.
Well, that group that he's speaking at the Museum of the Bible in D.C., the group was founded by anti-LGBTQ crusader, Arkansas State Senator Jason Raypert. Remember him? He was appointed by Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders to their library board. He seeks Christian control of every level of government. No Christian can work for a Democrat who can vote for a Democrat who have been enlisted to further the Antichrist cult in our country.
Well, the thing
that this group defends the death penalty for sodomy.
I'll take a breath on that and then move on to what I think was...
Mike Johnson's the second in line to the presidency.
Exactly.
Are we going to talk about his email this week?
What I'm going to talk about is his statement that he's releasing the videotapes of January 6th slowly so they can blur the faces of the assailants so the Department of Justice will not find more people to prosecute.
Well, now everybody says, oh, but the Justice Department already has the original things. But the other thing he said was, we don't want retaliation against these people, but we do want total transparency. So it's all
he's off the deep end. He really is. And people are just nailing him on air for these kinds of statements.
But we did tell you last week just earlier this year, I believe in October, Mike Johnson said that the growing rate of young people not identifying as straight was a sign of an irredeemable, depraved culture.
Right.
You might think as speaker now, he'd be a little less bombastic and insane. But no, he just sent out a fundraising email repeating all that hate. One in four high school students identifies as something other than straight. What are they being taught in school? I fear America may be beyond redemption, he wrote, lamenting the filth that passes for popular culture these days. Of course, if you're hungry for filth, you have no farther to look than the Florida Republican Party and Moms for Liberty.
Mike Johnson does not have Trump's Riz word of the year.
Mike, Riz. I actually didn't know that word.
Charisma.
Oh, good. Riz, charisma.
Yeah.
Riz. We're trying to be.
So correct. He's not going to get away with this.
Well, by the way, the leader of the almost non-existent Log Cabin Republican Club, Charles Moran, said he's giving Johnson the benefit of the doubt.
Well, Kevin McCarthy is not. He's getting out of town right away. Boom, I'm gone. He's so angry.
He's hitting people.
Talk about retribution.
He's hitting people.
He is ready to take the party down in the House. They're going to lose the House in the next couple of months with people disappearing.
Be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which,
we can get some things done.
Speaking of which, let's move to the guy they lost last week.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be the top story, but it's so much is happening.
Yes. Our pal, George Santos.
The only known drag queen in the Congress. He argued that he didn't get due process, and the House leadership backed him up on that. But the Ethics Committee did, due diligence and a thorough investigation and found evidence of his thievery.
Well, the leadership backed him up in the sense that they were not willing to take the chance of losing a member with their very slim majority. So I don't know that they actually support him as a human being, but they did vote to not throw him out. And that was Johnson and Stefanik and Scalise, the leadership. But, half the rest of the Republicans voted to get rid of him.
Right. Now, the campaign to rid the House of Santos was led by out-gay freshman Representative Robert Garcia. We have a picture of him. He's there on the far left. And Dan Goldman, who's from New York. Garcia's from Long Beach, California.
former mayor of Long Beach, California.
And, you know, Richie Torres was also very involved early yep. on and was also out there yep. trying to get rid of him. Now, Santos is trying to say he was bullied out of the Congress. You know, he's really, oh, my God. Asked if he would now run for mayor or governor, he said, I do not desire to be executive of anything. I suck at running my house. That is why my husband runs it. I never saw a picture of his husband.
Yeah, no, we've seen him. There we've seen is. Him there's, all along.
There's the husband. I think his name is Matt or something.
And the amusing angle there is that Santos says he doesn't believe in marriage for anyone, including it's not just same-sex couples. He doesn't think anybody should get married.
And he's been married for 2 years.
And that the government should not be involved in it. Now, I love his sort of parting shots against Nicole Malliotakis, who we have been reporting as reportedly homosexual on this show, a Staten Island representative.
Republican
and pretty conservative. And Santos on the way out said, you know, at least I'm an out, proud gay, as opposed to Malliotakis. But then there's the other representative who was screaming at Santos, another Republican, who said, he stole money from me. He overcharged my credit card and my mom's credit card. And it's get hilarious. Rid of him.
It's hilarious. And, of course, you've all seen what he's doing now. He's recording cameo videos, they call them. And for money, and he quadrupled his rate within the day because they were in such in demand. One of them was for Senator John Fetterman to go after Bob Menendez. Another was to promote two of the biggest porn stars on.
Why not? What? Who does
and
he
he's doing this?
To?
He's very jolly while he's doing this. He's raking in the money before he goes to prison.
No, he's thinking to himself, look, I had a year in politics and made my name, and now I can make actual legal money. But I thought actually the funniest reaction was Bo and Yang on Saturday Night Live, The Open. It was really hilarious. You look that up if you haven't seen it. Yes. You can probably find it on YouTube. It's just the first few minutes of Saturday Night Live. Well worth a search.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Montana. A trans Montana legislator, Zoe Zephyr.
Zoe,
yeah. Okay. Sued the state challenging the disciplinary actions that she faced there. For telling it like it is. The district court judge ruled that the lawsuit was moot because the legislature is not in session. Zephyr was barred from speaking on the House floor, so Republicans can defame us and pass laws against trans people as much as they like. But if a trans woman calls them out on their bigotry, she's deemed to be violating the decorum of the chamber.
Well, there are all sorts of double standards going. I was interested to see that the Supreme Court this week threw out a suit by a woman who was charging hotels around the country yeah. with not following the Americans with Disabilities Act. And they said, oh, this is just speculative. You're just looking them up online. You don't have a real case here. Forget it. But some ADF case comes in that says, you know, we're afraid this cake maker or this stationer or photographer might get challenged at some point, and they say, oh, you're right, we're going to uphold your religious freedom. And it's just so hypocritical.
It is all whose ox is gored.
Very true.
18 state Republican attorneys general are signed a letter opposing the proposed HHS rule that would have required foster care agencies to place LGBTQ minors with foster care providers who respect their identities, lest they lose federal funding. The AGs are crying religious discrimination, saying policy harms religious conservatives' rights to impose their views on their kids. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. But a good note, in New York State, the governor has signed a non-discrimination rule against long-term care facilities being mean to LGBTQ seniors and HIV positive. So that's a little reinforcement of their rights in those facilities.
In Texas, the state Republican Party voted 32-29 not to exclude from their party those who, quote, are known to espouse or tolerate anti-Semitism, pro-Nazi sympathies, or Holocaust denial.
Yeah. Well,
and yet you have Elise Stefanik screaming
yeah.
at university presidents because they're not tough enough on anti-Semitism.
Was really a shameful hearing.
She is one of the most shameless people
in the
world.
So you don't think that should be condemned. Just on and on. Anyway, Jesse Smollett.
Oh, yeah.
Illinois. He was convicted of perpetrating fraud, claiming he'd been attacked in a homophobic attack. He was then prosecuted for having perpetrated the fraud. He ended up with a few days or weeks in jail,
but
he got 6 days, and then he got out because he was appealing.
It's a 5-month sentence.
He has lost his appeal. His conviction has been upheld. He may be going back to jail. There was a dissenting judge in the decision, though. And he can keep appealing, so
right. No
word on whether
to the high court.
Yeah.
All right. Also in Chicago, a beloved gay nightclub, Berlin, closed down after 40 years on West Belmont there. A magnet for celebrities from John Waters to Elton John to Lizzo. Owners say that they couldn't afford to keep it open if the staff unionized.
Yes, the staff was asking to unionize. In Alabama, parents of trans kids are suing to overturn the law there that allows no medical care for trans kids, maybe even trans adults. And in this case, the state has gotten the court to release emails by Dr. Rachel Levine, the trans assistant secretary of Health and Human Services. No word on how they're relevant to this case, but they're going after her. As they try to
in Portland, Oregon, a convicted sex offender who assaulted a group of naked cyclists while shouting anti-gay slurs has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Robert Earl Hutchins, 40, a homeless person, hit the cyclist with a metal pipe in June. One of the victims told police he himself was gay. None apparently were seriously injured, but the perp tried. Previously convicted of sexual abuse of a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old girl.
Then we have the new Fox scandal,
where
a former Fox producer, Andrew Delaney, who is an out gay man, has filed suit against the network, saying that Tucker Carlson's producer, Justin Wells, also an out gay man, we talked about him when he came out, he says Justin Wells assaulted him in 2008, harassed him and sexually assaulted him. Of course, Carlson and the network are saying, 2008, come on, 15 years ago. But the fact is that in New York, they have just had this period of a year, where you could file cases that were previously considered beyond the statute of limitations.
Previously, they did it if you were molested as a child.
Yeah.
And then they did it, the Adult Survivors Act. It was our state senator, Brad Hoyleman Siegel, who got that bill passed.
Right. So now Tucker Carlson's producer, Justin Wells, is being accused of sexual assault. And we'll see.
As is the mayor and everybody else.
Oh, yes, I guess, Adam. Andrew Cuomo running for mayor.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
well, he's also one of the people who's got a lawsuit against him on that. And again,
for sexual assault.
Which
yes.
They all deny.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Let's go to New York. Tell us about Ken Sherrill, who we lost.
Oh, okay. Go to that. Ken was a pioneering gay activist and political scientist. He's died at the age of 81, survived by his husband and partner of 56 years, dancer and choreographer, Gerald Otte. That's Ken on the right. That's Gerald Otte on the left. And that's when they got legally married in 2003 in Canada by Judge Harvey Brownstone, an out gay guy who did this a lot. They were together for 56 years. I said, how did you meet? Walking in Central Park. And then
Through the Ramble in Central Park?
Well, I don't
park.
Know if it was the Ramble. They were in the park.
Yeah.
Gerald said that I knew he was someone I would always want to be with, because he was so much smarter than I was, and I would never be able to fool him. But let's talk about what he did. His activism went back to the early 1970s, Ken's did, with the Gay Academic Union and the Gay Independent Democrats. He was the first out LGBTQ person elected to anything in New York State. when he won a race for district leader on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in 1977. And he used that position to advance gay rights, including fighting the remaining homophobes in Manhattan. He was an eminent and widely quoted political science professor chairing the department at Hunter College. He wrote many journal articles, including one where he found, and I quote this often, that being LGBTQ was the biggest predictor that you would become a Democrat if you were raised a Republican.
That's me.
Well, I grew up in a mixed marriage household.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ken was the greatest, and I'll be writing about him in Gay City News at more length.
We also want to celebrate the life of Norman Lear, who just died at 101, and who was a groundbreaker in putting controversial issues into situation comedies in the 1970s and beyond.
Including us.
Exactly.
The gays.
And trans.
All in the Family, Maud, the Jeffersons, Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman had Billy Crystal as a gay character.
Love Mary Hartman. Archie Bunker finding that an old army buddy or
he's in the bar with him and the guy
trans
comes out. Another one was gay. Earlier. Even.
Yes. Now I was one who was concerned that he'd made Archie's bigotry too lovable, but overall he certainly had his heart in the right place. He dealt with LGBTQ people. Abortion, big on Maud having an abortion. And he founded, and racism, the Jeffersons, Good Times, and on All in the Family too. But he founded People for the American Way, getting directly into politics when he thought he needed to do more.
That was back in 1980, and it was a response. We hadn't even elected Ronald Reagan yet, but it was a response to the moral majority. And he said, we need an organization to counter that.
Yeah. Exactly. So thank you, Norman Lear, for all your work over decades and decades. He was still working on new shows. He was 101. I'm tired now.
You think Joe Biden is old? Norman was 101.
Oh, my God. And Sandra Day O'Connor, who died in her 80s?
93. Now, I just want to say, she is arguably the most powerful woman in American history because she held that center seat in the Supreme Court and was able to, one way or the other, move things for decades.
Yeah. Now, she had a mixed record on us. Well, first of all, she helped save Roe v. Wade in the Pennsylvania case. Bush put her on the court. Oh, no. When she resigned, Bush put Alito on the court. That was not a good thing.
Yeah, she resigned because her husband had Alzheimer's and she wanted to take care of him.
Yeah. Now, she voted for Bowers v. Hardwick, which criminalized sodomy.
1986. Well, it upheld the criminalization of sodomy.
Yes. And in Lawrence v. Texas, which overturned Bowers, she voted for the progressive side, but she said in a separate opinion that she actually would not have included overturning Bowers v. Hardwick in it, because the reason she voted the right way on Lawrence v. Texas was that there was unequal treatment, that Texas criminalized same-sex sodomy but not opposite-sex sodomy. And so she thought that was why it should we should win that. But Bowers was Georgia, and that was more equal treatment.
I mean, Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the 2003 decision on Lawrence v. Texas, did it on due process grounds. She wrote her opinion, joining it, on equal protection grounds.
She also was on our side in Romer v. Evans, the Colorado discrimination law case.
But we can't forgive her for Bush v. Gore.
Ugh.
Now, she denies the story that when Gore was announced as the winner of the election on television, that she was at a dinner and she said, oh, she used the S word. And because it meant she was going to have to hang around until another Republican came along to replace her. So she was still a rock rib Republican from Arizona.
I don't want to forgive her for letting Alito take that seat.
But she, yes. Okay. Well,
and then there's, we're going from bad to worse. Kissinger. God. Kissinger has been my bête noire for many, many, many years. And really, if you do one thing in the next week, watch the documentary, The Trial of Henry Kissinger. It's on YouTube. It's an hour and a half. It is brilliant. And it's all about his sins in Vietnam, Indonesia,
Cambodia,
Pakistan, Chile.
Oh, yes.
He helped get Salvador Allende assassinated or pushed out or whatever it was and replaced by the junta, the generals.
My favorite quote is from Anthony Bourdain in 2001. Once you've been to Cambodia, you'll never want... Never stop wanting to beat Henry Kissinger to death with your bare hands. You will never be able to open a newspaper and read about that treacherous, prevaricating, murderous scumbag sitting down for a nice chat with Charlie Rose or attending some black tie affair with a new glossy magazine without choking. Witness what Henry did in Cambodia, the fruits of his genius for statesmanship, and you will never understand why he's not sitting in the dock at The Hague next to Milosevic.
I did have one conversation with him on the phone late at night when I was at CBS and we were putting him on the show the next morning. And I ended up saying to him, all right, so we'll send a car for you. I know you live in the River House, but what's the exact address there? And he said, Nancy, what is our exact address?
That's
I thought, man, this
wife.
Guy.
Well, he was one of the worst people who ever lived. And the idea that so many celebrities and prominent people that, you know, treated him with respect.
And kept supposedly consulting him for advice. The idea that Hillary Clinton, as she was running for president, was consulting with Henry Kissinger just about made me lose my mind.
Right. And Bernie Sanders took her on that. It was not a wise thing to do.
Terrible.
Okay. We have bigots in Chelsea apparently coming on Wednesday, December 13th. We have a local little church here. The Manor Church Foundation is going to have this conference with these really far right, ultra conservative bigots who go after the depravity of homosexuality and transgenderism. They argue for submission in the home. They say Target is pushing perversion for Christmas. So there's going to be a demonstration.
Well, this is what the pastor of that church does every week is make sermons like this. So the LGBTQ group at a local apartment complex are leading a demonstration next Wednesday, December 13th, from noon to 1 p.m., just in time for us to show up there before we do this show.
Yes, ma'am.
Wednesday the 13th on 26th Street.
Between 8th and 9th Avenues. 26th between 8th and 9th.
You can't miss it.
We're coming to you from 23rd Street. we'll be back in time to do the show.
We will. And let's hope we get my camera straightened out by then. All right. Some other sad deaths in Columbia, South Carolina. A trans woman, Shandon Floyd. Appears to have been murdered. They're still debating that somewhat. She was 20 years old, a hairstylist, studying nursing, loved her mom, and she is one of now 40 trans people reported murdered in 2023. We assume far more than that. 75% of those murdered have been 30 or under. Terrible. And in Ann Arbor, Michigan, a trans man, Jean Thomas Butcher, 26 years old, another young person, shot point blank by a man who shot a number of people. He was called Nature Boy because he was so into studying science and so loved that. Now, this happened actually a few months ago, but we're just finding out about it.
And in New York, in the murder of trans woman Ashid Hemingway Powell, 30, last year, an Albany jury found I.R. Robinson guilty of second-degree murder. He had accused her of transmitting HIV to him. There was no proof of that. She had just graduated with a biology degree from the University of Albany. A foundation has been set up in her name.
So we told you a little about the Project 2025 manifesto by the Heritage Foundation. It is 800 pages of what the Trump administration or any Republican administration is expected to do to cater to the right wing if they take power at the end of next year. It is one of the most frightening documents you could ever read. It's all about knocking down all our expected rules of the federal government. And they
by the dictator, Donald Trump.
And or Nikki Haley.
People are hearing more and more about that now.
Well, the new mainstream news is finally catching on to this. So we have a new group called Stop the Coup 2025, which is when they want to put it into practice. And we'll be holding a town hall meeting on December 17th, Sunday afternoon, from 2:30 to 4:30 at the LGBTQ Center on West 13th Street. Everyone is invited to brainstorm about how we're going to try to interfere with this. You can go to stopthecoup2025.org to get more information and to sign up to come to the town hall.
Okay. And but the coup happened in Russia a long time ago. The top court there banned the international LGBTQ movement as extremist, a group that doesn't exist, by the way. And the police immediately carried out raids of gay-friendly nightclubs, bars, and saunas, and leaders of Russian LGBTQ groups are fleeing the country. One of the activists in Moscow, a woman said, one club was hosting a party for 300 people, and the police came in, said they're looking for drugs, they detained some people, they photographed passports without permission. It's similar to the way they closed clubs in St. Petersburg. They also raided a Moscow sauna. No violations were found, but everyone was made to lie face down. So, you know, some club owners are trying to minimize the crackdown. Oh, it's no big deal. You know, they want to stay in business.
Yeah.
But, one of the landlords in St. Petersburg said the new law is going to make it as I'm going to throw this gay club out. I'm not renewing their lease.
Some think this is meant to be a distraction from the war in Ukraine to stop the populace of Russia from complaining about all their kids being sent off to war to die.
Let's burn some gay people.
There is a presidential vote in Russia in March.
So what?
Exactly. But you never can tell.
Well, Russia also installed Putin ally Valery Gergiev as head of the Bolshoi Theater, replacing Vladimir Yurin, director since 2013. This guy, who was the director, he signed a petition against the war last year, and he managed to hang on for another year.
Well, he's been very close to Putin for a long time. We were demonstrating against him at the Metropolitan Opera around the Sochi Olympics.
If you'd only listen to us when we were protesting over the gay stuff.
Meanwhile, in Uganda, the Anti-Homosexuality Act that they passed, a few months ago, is now being used as an excuse for torturing and raping LGBTQ people.
Now that's going to the high court in Uganda, and there is some hope that they'll trim it.
But U.S. evangelicals are pursuing this. If you go to 76crimes.com, you can get more details. That's 76crimes.com. And in Jordan, there is a crackdown on LGBTQ people. Activists are being interrogated, threatened, intimidated. It's getting bad all over.
It's just awful. An activist there said it merely existing in Amman has become terrifying.
Yeah.
And she can't continue to work as an activist. In the United Kingdom, Martina Navratilova objected to the Stonewall groups. That's our HRC. Inclusion of a trans woman in their lesbian visibility tribute, writing, "A bloke cannot be a woman." But there are trans women who, of course, are lesbians, including Kate Cornhill, a trans activist and firefighter.
And the UK Angling Trust, the fishing organization, has barred trans women from women's fishing competitions, saying they have a strength advantage.
Especially in the wind and when the currents are strong.
Nay wind, nay angling.
Oh, so they're saying trans women can compete in an open category.
Well, that's the solution.
Go sit over there with them. not at our table.
Yeah, exactly.
In France, the Senate there is debating compensation for 60,000 gay men who were jailed under homophobic laws from 1942 to 82. France decriminalized homosexuality in the revolution in 1789, only to see subsequent regimes restore it. So they're proposing you get 10,000 euros and 150 euros for every day you spend in prison. There's not that many people who are going to apply, but it's something.
And in Nepal, same-sex marriage is finally really positively legal, sort of. Here we have the first couple who've been recognized as same-sex married, but on the left we have a trans woman married to a man. Some would describe that as a heterosexual marriage, but Nepal is defining her as male at birth, and therefore this is a same-sex marriage.
Well,
very strange.
Sunil Babupant, who was the big activist there, gay activist, he said it was a 23-year struggle. And he was present when they registered their marriage.
We'll take what we can get at the moment if that's how they want to define it.
Ireland, the government is proposing two constitutional amendments to family law to make it more inclusive, one including a wider definition of family, whether founded on marriage or founded on other durable relationships. This is, you know, the family the constitutional stuff on the family was all written by the Catholic bishops in the 1920s. So that's why we had to have a referendum on same-sex marriage and on divorce in that country.
Well, the Catholics were involved in writing the AIDS curriculum in New York City public schools.
Well, they stopped us, that's for sure.
All right. AIDS news?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, first of all, Madonna is involved in a worldwide tour now called Celebration, just as we have Taylor Swift's Eras tour and Beyonce has her Renaissance tour. Madonna has her Celebration tour. And she is incorporating in her tour, Madonna, this wall of pictures of people who died of HIV while she sings the song Live to Tell. And these pictures are from a website assembled by a Scotsman, Stuart Armstrong, that has become a very famous AIDS memorial. 11,000 stories, video, photos. Madonna will be here in New York at the Barclays Center in mid-December with this, but this is a very moving and important part of her tour.
And I guess we could say it's encouraging to see that Taylor Swift was named Time's Person of the Year. She's an ally of our community.
And they
expect right-wing heads to explode.
They credit her with improving the U.S. Economy by $10 billion this year.
Easily.
Tours, yeah.
Now, right-wing groups are now suing to stop programs for Black maternal health as illegal affirmative action. This is that American Civil Rights Project, Stephen Miller, the monster from the Trump administration.
Oh, my God.
This is despite Black women being four times more likely to die in childbirth. So they are suing a program addressing a demonstrable need and crisis, but not enough Black people are dead to suit this group.
And Stephen Miller is one of the prime people who's going to have unbelievable power in a Trump administration. So you, for any of you who have any thought that maybe Trump won't be so terrible, the people he is going to put in power, unbelievable.
DeSantis and Trump came out this week for dumping the now popular Affordable Care Act, promising something better, but no details, of course. But, you know, this is, of course, this is a popular program now. I think it's going to lose them support.
Evidently. Well, I'd like to think so. I don't know how much people are paying attention to that. But, you know, people are paying attention to their health care. So maybe so. The Department of Justice is going after Tennessee for violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. Justice says that Tennessee is charging people who are HIV positive with harsher penalties.
Well, they call it aggravated prostitution, and there's a statute about that.
Well, just by being HIV
positive,
they are charging them with aggravated prostitution, and they are put on a lifelong sex offender list for being HIV positive.
So your current Justice Department says that violates Title II of the ADA, and you know, these convictions, by the way, lend you on the sex offense registry.
as I just said.
Let me stick the hearing aid in better.
Well, let's move on to entertainment news because we do not have infinite time.
So I saw Ana de DuVernay's important and moving new film, Origin, starring bisexual ingenue Ellis Taylor as Isabel Wilterson, author of Caste, C-A-S-T-E, the bestseller that posits the issue isn't racism or anti-Semitism or homophobia. It is caste, singling out a group, just single out any group, as inferior by the majority of the U.S. to Nazi Germany to India's treatment of the Dalit people, who used to be called the Untouchables. And it stars out Niecy Nash as Wilkerson's cousin, who was very terrific.
Love Niecy Nash.
Yeah. But here is Ellis Taylor talking about what she hopes the film will accomplish.
Just to go back to what I said about being able to bring my full self to work every day, what I mean by that is I don't want to have to leave the truth at my house. I want to be able to go to work and bring the truth with me. And one of the reasons why this book meant so much to me is that in her argument for caste, Isabel presents these 8 pillars of caste, right? And one of those 8 pillars is terrorism, being used as control. And that's what I live with. I'm from Mississippi. And so I live with those Confederate flags every day of my life. This film was not abstract to me. It's not conceptual to me. It's my life. So when I came to work every day, I got to go to work and say what I wanted to say. And what I want from this film is I want the governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves, I want Ron DeSantis, all those blocks of governors, I want them to be mad about this film. And because I think it's a dangerous film, because it's dangerous ideas in it, because it makes the right people angry. So that's what I want. If we get them in the theater, we can have that. That engagement with young folks who need to see it. So that's what I want.
Powerful.
Very.
Yeah. I also saw a play or a musical, The Gardens of Annunzia, at Lincoln Center. It's about the famous choreographer and dancer Graziella Danielle, who worked at Lincoln Center, starring Priscilla Lopez, who's in the white suit there, as the older version of Graziella, Annunzia. And the girl there on the far left is her as a teenager. It's directed by Michael John Lachusa, who is very close to her. They put it together. It's, well, it deals with a childhood in troubled Peronista Argentina. It's an ensemble of women, her mom, aunt, and grandma. It makes for a pleasant evening, though it would have helped if they laid out more the way Annunzia is someone important in the culture. I don't think there was enough information there. Mary Testa, by the way, there in the middle there, as the grandmother, was terrific. They were all good.
And someone, I've forgotten who, has assembled a list, an extensive list of LGBTQ and HIV/AIDS documentaries, shows, whatever, that are going to be available this month. And we will link to that list in our show notes. So if you go to gayusatv.org and sign up to get our weekly show note, that will be included in this week's. And we promise just one email a week, and it's very informative with lots of extras.
And among the ones they're recommending, one is Commitment to Life.
I saw it yesterday.
From Jeffrey Schwartz, about the fight against HIV/AIDS in Los Angeles.
Very interesting.
On Hollywood. Well, you talk about it. You saw it.
Well, it's a lot about how it was different in L.A. because they did have access to celebrities. And, you know, I could sit and watch Liz Taylor all day long, my fantasy mother. But it tells you even more how open and transparent and involved she was and how important her involvement was. And a lot of other people, and about the activists fighting back and the researchers. Everybody's in there. Dr. Michael Gottlieb and lots of people with HIV. And it's a very moving film. Commitment to Life, and it's on Peacock.
And we will link to the whole list, but the other one of special note is We Live Here, the Midwest, on Hulu, about LGBTQ life in Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Ohio, and Minnesota.
We are everywhere.
We are. We have about 3 minutes here. Don't ask me why I was watching the $100,000 pyramid. I was on $20,000 pyramid as a kid and I lost. But I mean, I just noticed it. And this little scene came up and it's the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Jason, you were up. Sam, what do you like?
I feel like I'm obligated to do I'm So Gay For You.
All right, Sam. Describe to Jason these animals that have displayed homosexual behavior in the wild.
Okay.
Let's put 30 seconds on the clock. Ready? Go.
They roar. They have a mane.
Lion.
Yep. And then hoo hoo at night.
Owl.
Yep. And then they go like this in the ocean.
Dolphin.
Yep. And then it's a bird with a really long neck and it runs really fast.
Ostrich.
Yes. And then a monarch flaps its wings.
Butterfly.
Yep. And then we are people. We are
human beings.
Yep. Quack, quack.
Ducks.
Yep.
There you go. Got it.
This kid went on to win in this winner's circle with Jason Alexander. And then he went into the winner's circle again with Rosie O'Donnell and won $150,000 on the $100,000 pyramid. And now you do that. But he's gay. Now, is all this stuff going to be shut down under the new regime if they come back?
No, and that's why we can't lose in the end, because they can't wipe out popular culture entirely. It's not Putin. We will eventually triumph. But I'm very impressed by Jason Alexander, who just whips out those answers like that. And I'm also struck by the fact that in a very short period of time, we have gone from research and a book on homosexuality or same-sex behavior in the animal kingdom to now having it be a category on the $100,000 pyramid.
Oh, on Jeopardy, the answer was Gilbert Baker's flag.
Yes,
you
I saw
this,
that. Yeah.
Was then held by this leader in the 1978 Pride Parade. And it was, of course, Harvey Milk. Jeopardy.
They got it.
They did.
Well, they
Thank
have.
Goodness.
Yeah. Would have been humiliating. I thought the answer was actually quite easy.
Yes.
For
us.
They had a lot of clues in there to that. So.
Down to our last 30 seconds.
All right. Well, we've gotten through this side by side again. We have asked.
Nice to see you. I haven't seen Ann in ages.
We've asked to go back into the regular studio. Consider this a tryout under difficult circumstances. But I think we did it okay.
We did. I hope you enjoyed it.
Me too.
Thanks
I did.
For being with
sure.
Us.
I more than I thought I might. Well, I had to race over from my house. All of 100 yards away. Yes, we live in the same building, sort of. All right. Well, that's it for this week. We
see
will
you
see you next week.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.